Hi, everyone. And of course, thanks for listening to the Talking Split podcast again. This is a bit of a different podcast this week in that we aren't talking directly about coaching, but moreover, something that does tend to underpin a lot of what we do as humans, and that's talk about our mental health. This topic can be triggering for a lot of people, so do want to exercise a word of caution before you continue listening. If you or anyone you know is experiencing problems with their mental health, please do reach out to those that can help. If you're under the age of 18, please do have a parent or guardian listen to this with you so that they can help you along the way. Hi again, everyone. You're about to hear an interview with Wayne Holdsworth, who many in basketball circles would know as the CEO of Frankston Basketball. He's an all-round champion person and, importantly, is also responsible for the Smack Talk program. Wayne delivered the presentation to all staff at Basketball Victoria a few weeks ago, and I can tell you it was probably the most impactful presentation I've ever seen or been involved with. I'd encourage you all to go and have a look at his website, smacktalk.com.au, and hear about Wayne's story and the reason why he started the program. You can also follow along on his Instagram page with the handle smacktalk2106. Without anything further, we'll get into the chat with Wayne. Hey everyone, thanks for jumping back into the Talking Split podcast. As promised, this might be a little bit of a tough listen for a lot of people out there, so I do want to sort of flag that, look, if you are someone that has dealt with suicide in your life before, whether it be suicidal thoughts with yourself or people around suicide in particular, please be aware that this might be a little bit of a difficult listen, and we do encourage you to go and get the help and support you need. If you are someone under the age of 18 that is listening to this, we do recommend if you're going to listen to it with a parent or a guardian or someone that can help you navigate a little bit of this as well, because this is a difficult topic in particular. But really pleased to welcome Wayne Holdsworth, who's not only the CEO of Frankston Basketball, but the main person behind Smack Talk in particular. So Wayne, thanks very much for jumping in.
Oh, pleasure, Rob. It's really great to be with you this morning. Thank you.
No problems at all. Just for those of you out there that maybe aren't aware of who you are, like, you're obviously, we view you in Basketball Victoria's eyes as being one of the most respected CEOs in the world of basketball, full stop. You've been a phenomenal resource, not only Basketball Victoria, but a lot of the other associations out there. Can you just give us a little bit of a background on yourself as well?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. My professional life has always been in sports administration, and I think I spent about 20 years with the AFL through AFL Victoria, and more in development than anything else, but I started off as a ticket secretary, umpires administrator, but then ended up more in the development space and, running some leagues for AFL Victoria, which really morphed into then being a bit of a troubleshooter in sports administration. And I think it was around about 2018, Frankston had their challenges in terms of relationships, and some their fault, some not their fault. And they were looking for someone to come in and provide them with a bit of guidance and support in those relationship areas. And I was available, and I also lived on the peninsula, which was handy in terms of the travel. And so, I met with the board on a couple of occasions, and it was a really good fit for me, and I think the board at that stage as well. So we had a bit of a revamp in terms of the board structure. And then my role was really to build the association in terms of its relationships, build in terms of its corporate governance. That was really important. But to do that, we needed to work really closely with our key stakeholders. And, it's no secret, back in 2018, we had no relationship with any, with Basketball Victoria, for example, local, state, federal government. And my role is really to build those relationships and work together. I find that working together and working collaboratively with your peak body and others associated with the direction that sport's going in terms of the local, state and federal governments is critical for the success. And we're in an area here at Frankston, Rob, that has its unique challenges in terms of unemployment, in terms of the health and welfare of its constituents, particularly young people. So sport is the glue. And that's one of the reasons that we not only provide basketball to players, in under tens all the way through and under eights all the way through to seniors and veterans, etc., but also to those with all abilities that have special requirements. You know, we're really proud of our involvement with the All Abilities program, but also the walking basketball, the wheelchair basketball, and more recently, one of the first organisations in Australia to provide vision impaired basketball, which we're really pleased about. So that's been my background. That's what I'm doing now. And my aim now is obviously to ensure that that this association is sustainable moving forward, regardless of who's running it. So, you know, we've got some really good corporate governance that's, dictated to by not specific people, but policy and procedure, which is really important. And the fact that we've got a great relationship, I think a great relationship with our peak body, with Nick and Ben and the team at BV, you know, I think we're all in this together and we can learn from each other, and I've learned an enormous amount, particularly in the basketball field, because it's foreign to me. And I have to refer to the experts most of the time in terms of technicalities, but I think the business of sport is something that I'm probably, that's what I hang my hat on, Rob.
Yep, excellent. That's where this conversation has come about, because obviously you presented to the Basketball Victoria staff a couple of weeks ago now around Smack Talk. And so I think it's a really vital conversation we have in this space, and it's something that we do need to talk more about, is the mental health of people involved in the sport and just people in society in general. That's not unique to basketball, but this is probably the vehicle, I suppose, that we're involved with here. And there are a number of coaches out there that have probably dealt with players that haven't been in the safest of places mentally and those sorts of things. So I think it's a conversation that's worth having. You obviously have some very significant lived experience in this world. So I will sort of pass over to you for a fair chunk of time here, Wayne, if you're able to sort of talk about that.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. And as you said at the start of this segment, it's important that if there's any kids there, you know, under 18 that are listening to this on their own, that, you know, they get mum and dad with them, or an older brother or older sister, because it's pretty important. It is confronting. Suicide is confronting on many fronts. And, you know, I won't talk about the specifics of what happened to Mac, other than on October 24th last year, he took his own life, and there was only myself and my 14-year-old daughter at that stage in the house, and I found him. And, you know, from a parent's perspective, it's your worst nightmare, without a doubt. And there won't be any harder thing that I've ever done in my life than to manage that situation and to support my 14-year-old daughter that was in the house, and having to tell her that her brother had passed away, and in those circumstances was really difficult. And so there was two or three things I could have done, Rob. And initially I thought, potentially I could have joined him, and I had thoughts around that for a few weeks. Or second, just live a pretty shallow life and blame everybody else and blame myself for the situation, or to use his death as a catalyst to do more around suicide prevention. And, you know, in sport we use the word competitive stamina, and I use that in my life as well. You know, I talk about I refer to maybe the Frankston Blues, you know, and you know, we haven't been the best team in the NBL One Men all year, really. We've just been floating around. I think we're eighth or ninth 3 or 4 weeks ago. But that competitive stamina that Harmsy and the boys have is an intangible, that we're never out of the game. We like to be in the game. And if we lose, we only lose by a small amount. And, you know, the KPI from my perspective is that, you know, Harmsy and Dean, looking after the women, and Harmsy the men, is that they have an impact on people's lives as opposed to the win and losses. And I think that sometimes translates into wins and losses. But that's the way I run my life as well, Rob. It's that competitive stamina. And so I decided to use Mac's death as a catalyst to do more in suicide prevention. I really researched over December and January of late last year, early this year, around what was missing in the mental health space. And certainly in talking to leaders in mental health across Australia, one of the things that's really obvious is that of the $8 billion that's spent on mental health from the federal government, and this isn't a political message, this is from both sides, that's all they're going to commit to, only 1% is on prevention of suicide. So there's the gap there staring us in the face, and besides trying to lobby government to change that dynamic a bit, we're not critical of the amount that's spent. We're just offering some feedback in terms of how that money's spent and balanced a little bit. So I developed a program with Suicide Prevention Australia around suicide prevention, and it's been tweaked as we've gone along to ensure that it's appropriate for particular ages. And I run a session for adults, and that's the one that I conducted and facilitated with Buzzball Victoria a week or two ago. And then there's also one that I facilitate to schools. And St Bede's recently, for an example, we did the 9s, 10s and 11s at Mentone. Then I went over to Bentley to do the 9s there. And you know, we speak about social media. Mac was sexually extorted, and that's something that sticks in my mind in terms of one of the reasons that he took his life. Not the only reason, but one of the reasons. So I talked to the kids around my experience, but also around the tips and tricks and traps for kids. Social media, there isn't a safe place on the internet for children. You know, I talk about there's five-year-olds here in Victoria, five-year-old boys that are addicted to violent porn, pornography, and they'll grow up thinking that that's the standard, and it's not. There's 7- and 8-year-old girls that have anorexia, and that's due to body shaming on social media. And it's not quite the platforms that I'm critical of. It's more around the people that inhabit them. And, you know, I don't want this to become a political statement, but, you know, Meta came out recently in response to the Joint Select Committee that's been formed in Canberra, who I met and spoke with. They were asked, Meta were asked, what they felt social media was doing to kids, and they said that they don't believe that there's been any negative impact on children through social media. Yet only last weekend they froze 63,000 Nigerian Facebook accounts because of the negative impact they're having. So there's mixed messages there. So apart from running programs, Rob, around educating people, and I've now spoken to over 5,000 people across around about 50 organisations. And just last week I was at Phillip Island, the week before I was at Inverloch footy clubs delivering programs, and with Basketball Victoria. I'm up at Shepparton Basketball in a few weeks, which is really good. And also with Luke as well, Luke Lehman. We're meeting, you know, I think in September with some of the CEOs in the northern region to talk about it as well. So I deliver that program and hoping to make a difference in people's lives, and not only around my lived experience, which I think resonates, but also what people can do around the questions to ask, when the questions are asked, and also having really good listening skills. So when you identify people that are struggling, you know the questions to ask, you know how to comfort them, but very importantly, you know the process to follow to ensure that they get help immediately. And there's been several examples just in my short time delivering this session that we've been able to help people. And that's now morphed into being an advocate for suicide prevention, which I'm pleased to do. And there's been a lot of media attention on it, and we're really proud some 4 or 5 weeks ago that for the first time in Australia's history that on every front page of News Corp publications on a Saturday, the biggest readership was suicide. And that's never occurred ever in the country's history. And then also I work with News Corp on the Let Kids Be Kids program, and that's around raising the age limit to 16 for kids accessing some of these platforms that other people live on that are predators. And so that's something that's really close to my heart as well, with Mac being extorted. And so I'm really proud of that work, and will continue for as long as I'm around.
Yep. And you absolutely should be, honestly. We sat in the in your presentation to Basketball Victoria the other day, and I don't think I've been in the office one day where it hasn't been brought up in some capacity since. Like, it's everyone that hit home, I think, with a lot of people that were involved. And obviously, there's a lot of people that have their kids of their own, or just deal with kids in their day-to-day life. So that really, I feel like, hit the mark. And I mean, credit to you for being able to even talk about it and present on it as much as you do. But it is a phenomenal thing that you do for mine in this suicide prevention in particular, because the last thing we want to be doing is trying to fix something after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's the precursor.
yep.
in this sort of world. And I think that's where coaches come into it a fair bit, is that as coaches, we can be one of the people that probably notices change. Like, it's because we don't see the kids every day and we don't get the ups and downs of moods and all the things that go on with kids. We get little snapshots and we can probably notice it over a longer period of time that, hey, something's slightly off for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Do I need to have the chat? How do I have the chat? Those sorts of things. Is there any advice you can kind of give to coaches as to how you would broach that topic? Because I suppose for some of them, yeah. it'd be really confronting and they almost become like that incidental counsellor that gets involved there. But how do they start the conversation?
Rob, this is a great question, and you know, credit to you for identifying that coaches have, whether they know it or not, an enormous influence over kids particularly. And a lot of the kids will remember their sporting activity because of the coaching that they've received. And we have some magnificent coaches in basketball, and I've seen it. And they are great people great mentors for young players. They have a massive influence. And so they're with the kids, particularly in rep basketball, for at least 3 times a week for 6, 7, 8 hours at sometimes. And they're also liaising with them, you know, via telephone and other media. They have a massive influence. And so my advice to them is to get to know the families really well, and they'll identify pretty quickly that some of the kids will gravitate toward the coach because they may not have the relationship at home for whatever reason. Dad might not be around, mum might not be around, they might not be able to talk to their mum and dad, which is fairly common. So all of a sudden, that coach becomes a mentor. And so the things that they need to look out for specifically, Rob, is that changes in a person, dramatic changes. And I gave the example the other day that if one of your charges is potentially always on time and is reliable to the second, and then all of a sudden starts to become late, that they're late for training, late for games, disorganised, they leave things at home, or they're disorganised in terms of their preparation, lost a bit of interest, can't look you in the eye, maybe even shaking, all those things that all of a sudden are a change to that personality, then that's the time to, you know, through the parents initially, but to ask them how they're going. And unfortunately, asking just simply, are you okay, is not enough. That is a closed question. And I'm really pleased that the Are You Okay program have changed their slogan to Are You Okay Any Day. But it's still premised on asking just one question. We need to be asking open-ended questions. So the answer is not yes or no. I ask Mac every day in the car, Are you okay, mate? How are you going, mate? And he'd always say, I'm fine, Dad. Then talk about the basketball, footy, cricket, you name it. He was deflecting. But if I'd asked him questions like, how's your day been today? Knowing that there was something potentially wrong, how's your day been today? Is something bothering? What is bothering you? So you're asking those open-ended questions, and the coach should be seeing, if he or she sees changes, asking those questions, those open-ended questions. How was your day at school today? Is anything bothering you? Tell me about anything that's bothering you. And typically, Rob, if there's a pause, if they can't look you in the eye, if they're shaking, if they start tearing up a little bit, and I had one of our players in my office yesterday with that very situation, and we're not counsellors. We don't expect the coaches to be counsellors, but what we expect from them is for them to comfort them at that point and to find out what it is that's wrong. And, you know, I used this example the other week, Rob, and I won't use the specifics today, but a young boy, probably about 9 weeks ago, took his own life just near Edith Vale Station. And a man was walking with his dog just near where it occurred and asked the boy, you know, to perhaps get off the tracks. And he looked over and smiled and said, I'm happy. And unfortunately, that boy lost his life that evening. That boy broke up with his girlfriend the night before. He was shattered. And so it's those things too. And as coaches, if you know a boy or a girl has having their first relationship with a young girl or young boy or whomever, and then they break up. That's a real sign. That's an opportunity to put your arm around them and to comfort them and to ensure that they're okay. But then, Rob, knowing what to do in that situation, that potentially if they've broken up with someone that day, that night could be traumatic to the point where they do take action, knowing what to do. And obviously it's through the parents, but if it's critical, you have to take ownership yourself and to help. And that's to put your arm around them, ask them the real tough question, have you got suicidal thoughts? And if they've been shaking, if they can't look you in the eye, if they've been tearing up, then you ask the question, have they got suicidal thoughts? Or if they've said, I can't do this anymore, there's your opportunity to save a life. And that will be your legacy. That will be your legacy. And so it's the arm around. It's to ask permission to ring Lifeline together. The number should be in everyone's phone to contact Lifeline with them on loudspeaker to get them help that day. And you'll be the taxi driver that day to take them back and then to check in with them regularly. And you'll have saved a life, and that will be your legacy as a coach. Not the wins and losses, not the championships, but that you've saved that girl or boy's life. So identifying the things in people that have changed. You know, Mac used to love riding his bike, and I thought he was still riding his bike, but not too long after he passed away, maybe 2 or 3 days afterwards, I was cleaning things around the house and picked his bike up, and the tyres were flat. He hadn't been riding his bike for some time. So it's those things that we as parents and coaches need to identify. You know, and in adults, Rob, one of the things that we need to be looking for is changes in the personality, but also changes in circumstances, and again, typically around relationships. You know, if a person's been stood down from work, you know, we know of people that have been stood down from work and pretend to go to work because they're so embarrassed. You know, their wife, they don't want to feel as though they're not supporting the family in front of their wife and family, so they just go pretend to go to work, and they're not. And so it's those sort of things that you identify as a friend, a real friend, and you help those people. And there's nothing more that you can do that's stronger as a friend to be able to support them when they're really struggling, not when they've won a touch lotto or just scored 20 points in a quarter, that sort of stuff. It's around when they're really struggling, so those sort of things. And as an adult, you know, if you identify people that are, again, all of a sudden become late, they're changing habits, etc., come to work smelling of alcohol in the morning. Now, they've had a rough night the night before. That's when you put your arm around them. And guys, you have to be strong. You have to be able to put your arm around and put your head over the ball and do things outside of your comfort zone to save a mate.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. I don't think you lose anything by asking the question. Like, if nothing else, even if everything is fine and you just maybe misread it or whatever the case may be, at least the player or someone else knows you care, or they can talk to you in that space. Because I think there's been a little bit of sort of hesitancy from people in the past. Yeah. Where it's like, well, look, if they don't have suicidal thoughts, I don't want to place them in there. Yeah. By asking. And it really doesn't do that. It is one of those things. I know I've certainly had a player who I noticed a change with. And again, I won't get into specifics or anything like that, but it was a case of, look, are you okay? And of course got the one-word answer. And it's like, yeah, I've butchered this completely. This is not my best work. Yeah. But dug a little bit deeper and sort of spoke. And it's like, well, okay, have you had suicidal thoughts? And the answer was no, but my friend has. It's like, yes. Right, okay. So there's a bit of an empath thing going on here where, yep, you're maybe taking on a little bit of the burden of someone else, and that is impacting on you and your mood. So, and similar to the deal, underage athlete, yep, have to let the parent know. Can you let that person's parent know down the line as well? Turned out to be nothing, but grateful that I at least had that chat, and the relationship between myself and that player was significantly better because of it, because it's like, oh, that's not just the person telling me I need to box out and run harder.
Yep.
That's the person that cares about what goes on off the court.
Very much so, Rob. Yeah. Very much so. And, you know, I speak about the three scenarios. You know, the first scenario is that you identify something in someone and you proactively go over to them, which is pretty courageous. But then the second one is when someone comes to you, and that's really courageous too, to share their most intimate thoughts about their life and to say, I'm really struggling with this. And that's a credit to you because they can approach you because you're that sort of person. And then the third thing is when you can see someone that's really, really, that's shaking, that can't look you in the eye, that's crying constantly, that they've probably got suicidal thoughts, and you just have to ask the question. And yeah, it's confronting, and who else is, no one's been asked to ask that question in their lives probably until now. But Rob, the rate of suicide is growing dramatically. You know, it's 801 in 2023 compared to the rare toll of 299 and 60 people drowned in Victoria in the corresponding period. So it's 2.5 times the rare toll. And it's grown by 17% in the first quarter of this year compared to 2023. So the unfortunately, the mental health system is overloaded and is cracking. So we as friends need to take control and to need to be the first responders. You know, if we knew that there was going to be someone with a mental fitness issue at home that potentially could lead to a drastic result, then we would be armed with all of these questions and experience. And just like, you know, if we know of someone in their house potentially going to have a severe heart attack, we'd buy a defib machine, spend $3,000, have it there. You know, you just do it or learn CPR. Whereas we don't see mental fitness, a person's mental fitness, so we sort of don't know. But that means that we've got to be extra diligent and be looking for it and to have the courage to go to someone when you see them appearing to be changing when someone comes to you. And we have to be in their moment. Telephones off, not turned down if I'm off totally, so you're in their moment and no one else matters at that point. Your lunch, your dinner, your engagements, all that mean nothing. They've come to you or you've identified with them. It's time to be in their moment and to help them.
Yeah, that is massive, in all honesty. And people will remember that for the rest of their lives. It's who was there for them when they needed it the most. And it is one of those things that we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. We get a snapshot of them when they walk into a stadium, when we have a chat with them, when we coach against them, something like, we get a really small little snippet as to what's going on with them. And we don't often think about it away from basketball in our world. Like we view it in a basketball lens, obviously. But the term mental fitness, which you hit on just then, I love that. And that was one of the things that resonated with me the most, is that, you know, we can see when someone's got a dodgy ankle or a knee or something like that, or there's bruising or there's, you know, blood or anything like that. Mental fitness, though, means so much more than just what you can see on the outside. And how have you gone about approaching that at Frankston? Because obviously this is a very lived experience here, but how have you gone about making people more aware of their mental fitness in that world?
You're right, Rob, and that's a challenge we have because, I see it here every day when a player comes in, you know, and they're limping. So I'm asking 5 questions, you know. Dan Truce has got an injury. Dan, how is it? You're going to be okay for next week? You know, how long are you going to be out, et cetera? So I'm asking 4 or 5 questions to Big Dan. But because we can't see how people are feeling, it's more difficult and it's a challenge. So I want to normalise it. And so it's not a challenge that we ask, you know, how's your physical fitness? You can see your ankle or your knees playing up. But ask, how's your mental fitness out of 10? Ask them out of 10. And I'm trying to create a culture here where it's natural and normal to ask that question. And you know, I ask it all the time, and I know the staff here and our senior leaders are asking it, and hopefully that'll permeate throughout the whole association, that we actually ask a person, how's your mental fitness? And if they say, yeah, not bad, out of 10, Rob, how's your mental fitness? And if they say, oh, about 8 or 9, well, that's a pretty good rating, you know, they're in a good space. But if they say 2 or 3, there we go. There's the opportunity to provide them with support. So I'm wanting to change the from mental health to mental fitness, and so make it a bit more normalised, because mental health has a bad rap. It's got a stigma. That's why newspapers haven't really engaged in suicide prevention, because of that mental health stigma. Politicians have steered clear. But isn't it surprising that as soon as we got some traction and we're on the front pages of all the News Corp publications on that Saturday, all of a sudden the next week the politicians roll over it, because it may become an election issue. I think it will. So we need to normalise it. So mental fitness and using that word is critical. So an example of that, you know, Dan Trist comes in, he's limping, I'll ask him a couple of questions. Before you go, Dan, how's your mental fitness? Oh, Wayne, it's pretty good. It's about an 8 out of 10. Good on you, Dan. That's fantastic. Just stay in touch, mate, if it drops. But if he'd said to me, oh, I'm just struggling, mate, it's 2 or 3, right, come with me and we'll go for a walk. And nothing else gets in the way then. And, you know, I've got the confidence of the boys, and the boys and girls have got the confidence in me to be able to share stuff. And we need to ensure that that's normal in not just sporting organisations, Rob, but anywhere. You know, I talk about the family, village, tribe. You know, family, your close family, your husband, wife, partner, your kids, you know, and then your village is the extended family, and then the tribe. And the tribe is, in my case, the 9,500 members we've got here. That's my tribe that I've got to make sure are okay physically and mentally. But we all do. We all have to look after each other as a tribe. And that's a Graham Turner from Flight Centre. You know, he coined that term for his business, but I've pinched it and he knows that, so that's okay.
That's okay. I'm sure he's pretty happy for you to to spread that one a little further. What sort of resources are there out there for people that they can tap into? Because I can guarantee people will hear this and think, gee, I do need to do more in this space. This is maybe something that I've been either a bit oblivious to or just haven't had the time to do, or whatever the case may be. What resources out there that people can tap into? Obviously, the Smack Talk website is a great one to start off with.
Yeah, Rob, I would recommend people jump on there. The only reason is that all of the resources, you know, from Lifeline, from Beyond Blue, all of those are available on there as well. So jump on there, www.smacktalk.com.au, and that'll talk about a bit of background, but more about where people can get help. Some of the concepts that we talk about, that we've talked about this morning, Rob, are on there. And also, Kira Rowe, who's, you know, obviously plays at Knox, and she's a superstar player, but she's a greater person. She's just unbelievable. And she's helped me with my social media, and she's put together the Instagram. I used to think it was called Instagram. That's how lame I am. So Kira came up one night and helped and said, I'll look after that for me. So on there, Smack Talk 2106, she most days will add something around suicide prevention. And it's a tip or trick that people can have a look at that really resonates. And it's not something that you think, oh, someone else can do that. It's something we can all do. It's really simple. So I'd suggest you go on there as well. And, you know, the Lifeline, put that number in your phone. It's the most important number. Beyond Blue have got some really good resources. You know, Are You OK? I've got some really good resources as well. So they're the ones that I think I can put my hand on my heart and say that I would recommend people you know, have a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And even those that need more ongoing support and help, even just go to your GP, get a mental health plan, really easy to get. Like they'll happily refer you on to go and see someone else in those critical moments. Absolutely, Lifeline, I think, is probably one of the better ones you can go to. But if you are looking to do more research around it, I would recommend getting in touch with your GP, getting put on a mental health plan. They'll usually subsidise or at least reduce the cost of going to see someone in that sort of space. I think it's actually a really healthy thing. And in a life previous to basketball, I did work for Victoria Police, and I worked in that organisational wellbeing was what they called it, and that had psychologists, that had peer support, that had welfare, all those sorts of things attached to it. And the amount of times people would ring up and say, I just need to chat to someone, and those sorts of things. And it's not just kids. Like, kids are certainly a big part of what we're in this for, but it is adults as well, and you don't really know what's always going on. You touched on social media before and similar sort of deal. I did know the names to them all, but I'm not great at social media myself. I'm a bit of a hater in that world. But even things like we're doing this on a Tuesday morning for full transparency, and the Opals played last night, and you see some of the stuff that's written about some of the people online, and it's like, hey, this is not what this is about. Like, this is not mature behaviour. This is not helpful behaviour. If you're going to use social media, use it for good. Don't use it to drag other people down, those sorts of things. But of course, people under a certain age can all see that and think, look, this is, again, learned behaviour where, oh, if that 35-year-old can do it, I can do it.
Correct.
And it just infiltrates into their lives and, you know, it's not a healthy place to be.
No, and as I said before, Rob, there's not one place on the internet that's safe for kids. And adults that are really struggling. And as you said about the Opals last night, you know, I read some of it this morning and I was appalled. You know, and they call themselves Australian supporters. No, they're not. And I just hope that they don't read it, but a lot of them do, unfortunately. And you know, one in five people have or will have suicidal thoughts. It's that critical. And so we don't need social media to pile on top of that as well. And in some cases, unfortunately, it's actually commenced by social media. And there's so many examples of, you know, there's a clinic in South Australia that's been set up to teach 2- and 3-year-olds how to facially respond, because when they're being breastfed as babies, their mum has got a phone at the back of their the child's head watching a movie, and they're expressionless, and so the child isn't learning anything from their mum whilst they're breastfeeding in terms of facial expressions. So they've got to teach these kids. So it is a real, it's a lost generation, to be absolutely honest, Rob, and we as adults have to turn that around. So, you know, we're hoping that through the Joint Select Committee that have taken all submissions now, they'll make a recommendation to government in August around raising the limit to 16, and then hopefully legislation will be passed in November, and it will become an election issue, we hope. And that's what we can do, but it's really tough for parents as well to be able to, you know, take away what kids have seen as their right. So we've got a lot of work to do in that space.
Yep. So how can people help, I suppose, is my question now. It's moving forward. How can people assist in getting this message out there, being more aware of it and being real advocates in this space?
Well, I'm really fortunate because I've now partnered up with Basketball Victoria, and they've been enormously helpful in terms of giving me access now to basketball associations for me to go out and present. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, going out to Shepparton in a few weeks, which will be fantastic. And, you know, I've presented at Knox and Frankston and all the Peninsula Basketball Associations, and I'm looking forward to continuing that. So how can people that are listening help? Jump on my website, book a session, and I'll go out there. You know, I was out at Phillip Island last week, Inverloch the week before. You know, I'll travel anywhere, particularly after hours, because that's when people are available. To talk about my lived experience very briefly, to put it into perspective, but then talk about the tips and tricks that we can implement to save a life. And I truly believe that that can occur. And I've had feedback just in the last 48 hours of a session I did about 3 weeks ago where they saved a young girl. So if that's happening, then this is working. And so the way people can help is to jump on the website or jump on the Instagram, because the more people that jump on there, the better leverage I have with governments, etc., to say that it's got some traction. To get that message out. But jump on the website, book in a session, I'll come out straight away, I'll tee it up, come out straight away, and, you know, help save some lives.
Wayne, I can't thank you enough for this, honestly. It's how you get through this every day is honestly beyond me. It was one of the most powerful talks I've ever been involved in to listen to. So I can't thank you enough for your time and all the work you're doing in this space, because it is genuinely phenomenal. So thank you very much, and best of luck with it moving forward. And anyone that's out there listening, please do get in touch if there's anything that anyone can do for you in this world, because it is an important part. And I think we owe it to everyone in our basketball community to look after each other in this space. So, Wayne, thank you very much for jumping in.
No, thanks, Rob. And I guess just in finishing, it's important that I do this work for my health, my mental fitness, because it provides me with an opportunity to leave a legacy for Mac. I've dedicated now my after-hours life to ensuring that I leave a legacy for Mac. So I don't want another parent to go through what I've gone through, and we have a responsibility as a community to support each other, and please, let's take up that opportunity. Thanks very much, Rob.
Thank you, Wayne. As we wrap up, a massive thank you to Wayne Holdsworth for, again, telling your story and hopefully shedding some light on a topic that can at times be very uncomfortable for a lot of us to think about. a big reminder that if you or someone you know is going through some struggles with their mental health or their mental fitness, please do reach out to those that can help, such as Lifeline on 13 11 14, Beyond Blue 1300 224 636, and if someone is in immediate danger, please call 000. You can visit Wayne's Smack Talk website at smacktalk.com.au and follow along on the Instagram page with the handle smacktalk2106. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Talking Split Podcast. Make sure you like and comment on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.